be up here doing this as easily. Debbie is right. The reason we set this up was for the section. In my year going around the country to talk about APHA, I have to say, in that role as president, I represented all of public health. I used MCH examples first, believe me. But I use that, and it's really frightening to me still as a public health practitioner. I'm trained as a child development psychologist, so the lifespan stuff I was doing way back when Milt was doing it before people were writing on it. But I am really concerned at this transition point in all of our discussions, and I'm going to be really explicit, kids and families are still getting lost. And I am one of those who led the way to being called family and community health, and I think we could come back to that. But I'm really concerned with a transition, and I hope there's a transition. A lot of people are jockeying for what new administration should be doing about kids and families. But I have to tell you, out there on the road, it's a very divided world. The childcare world's doing one thing, education another, and then we have our friends who are in clinical pediatrics doing their thing. And I am really concerned that that bigger, broader, how do we fit together for the whole child in our policies is getting lost. So what I'd like to do is give a few challenges, and what I'm hoping as a result of what the section's doing and Jane's leadership in doing the policy, that we as a section can really pretty quickly come up with a policy that can be an anchor for APHA going forward in the future. Because some of these things I feel are going to come up from a lot of other folks bringing them up, and I represented APHA in a couple of child things, but we didn't have policy to support it all. So that's part of the intent here, to see if we can come to some consensus on that and where we stand on that. So as you know, I don't have to tell people in public health, but we're about healthy kids and healthy families and healthy communities. Now, I'm not going to go through the litany of why kids and families are important. You certainly have to do that for bigger audiences that aren't in MCH. Okay, and many people have done that well, but just to rattle off again, as we know, and I put that, there's a lot of handouts in the back for folks too. You know, we're still second for poverty after Mexico in the 26 richest countries. We're 28th in infant mortality. We still have 8 million uninsured, you know, expanding numbers of kids with special health care needs, and on and on. Okay, so you could pick whatever it is, but kids, especially in this country, you can also argue globally, are not where they need to be. And frankly, there's a moral and a rights issue for doing it, and I acknowledge our Martha May Elliott winner, Jonathan Koch is here, which is great, and he does great stuff on kids' rights. But you know, there's also an economic issue. If we don't do well by kids and families, we're definitely losing in the competitive world markets, and more people are saying that. Okay. Milt Kottlechuk is in the audience, and with Julius Richmond, whom we acknowledge, and I'd like to, and actually, his memorial service is today back in Boston, did a framework which I use all the time, and it's about to do effective policies, you need knowledge-based political will and social strategies. I would like to acknowledge for you all, if you don't know about the IOM report on the definition of child health, I think it's one of the best, most inclusive definition that builds on the WHO definitions for health. And I just included this. It also depicts yet again what we all know in the MCH area is that kids and child health and development need a social ecological model, as Bronfenbrenner said in 1964, all the way up to, as Marmot said in the opening ceremony, a social determinants model. I think actually MCHers have known that and used that framework a lot longer than a lot of other people in public health, and so I go back to that. My only pass to those of you who are academics here, which I'll count myself in that, is, you know, I am actually frustrated about the amount of evidence we have for the kinds of programs that need to be implemented. I kind of, and this probably is because I have too much gray hair, but when I go to one more thing that a foundation is trying to set up to do the same things that we've done 50, 40, 30 years ago, it's really frightening. We have an incredible set of interventions and things that we've done, from the new work on brain development to supporting families and communities is critical, many peer-reviewed journal articles, take all the stuff on home visiting, and studies other than just Olds' studies on home visiting. All the work from the Perry Preschool Project or the Brookline Early Education Project, there's many, many things. You could spend a whole 2 hours on what we know. But the sad part is a lot of that stuff is repeated, or it is never taken to scale. And I mean, I think that's one of the things I'm old enough to be out there to say, you know what, reinventing all these wheels is not going to help. Yes, we need some more new evidence, but we have a lot. So I'm past that stage on the framework. We have enough evidence. So where do we go? Okay, I've just interspersed a few things from our leaders of the past. Grace Abbott, she was one of the heads of the Children's Bureau. She said, children, it should be repeated, are not pocket editions of adults, because childhood is a period of physical growth and development, a period of preparation for adult responsibility in public and private life. A program for children cannot be merely an adaptation of the program for adults, nor should it be curtailed during periods of depression and emergency expansion of other programs. I kept that in there because I thought, what could be more appropriate as we are going through, and hopefully we'll go through one of the biggest transitions, hopefully in my lifetime, in terms of vision and leadership. But it's going to be tough in terms of the resources and stuff. So we, again, cannot stop talking about it. So if we threw out there, and many of you could do this, and what if we had just kind of a brainstorming session, what would you want in this policy going forward for mothers and kids? I suggest some of the following things, and we could use different words and come back to this. We want all kids and youth to have supportive families and communities, all to have supports and nurturing relationships in their childcare, educational settings, or all the settings they're in. We want all of them to have a comprehensive healthcare system using a single-payer system. We want all of the systems to have the following characteristics, which those of us in Title V know really well and are in some of our legislation. And in fact, I would say out there on the public health path, these terms are now being used by everyone at public health. But, you know, a lot of them started in MCH. And actually, Debbie even has a song about some of them. Remember that, Deb? Okay. But we want them to use evidence-based strategies. Of course, that's public health. Involve parents actively. That's another thing that I think MCH has done really well and institutionalized in many ways in bringing parents in. I'm doing a lot of work right now with adults with disabilities and elders, and that's a foreign concept for a lot of folks. Focus on prevention, enabling services, use the social determinants model. So we want all child health and development to use a population-based approach. Now here is where I get to the part where I think those of us in public health MCH get this, and we say this. I know this is not new to us. This is the work we have to do with folks outside, because this is explaining. You want someone at every level of government that's going to be responsible for all the kids, not just those in your catchment area, not just those outside your hospital, or not those that you might just want to serve. Because you'll notice a lot of the other healthcare providers and community folks are starting to use a lot of this language. But the key for me is, do they really mean all? We want them to use the core public health strategies of assessment, policy development, and assurance. We want parents that are knowledgeable and supported in child rearing. We want them to emotionally and financially be prepared when a child is born. We want supportive businesses and workplaces. And I've added a part that I speak on a lot that from my learnings and being in public health. You can't do something today unless you have a sustained social marketing piece. And we don't usually have that in public health. The only time public got that last was with tobacco. We need a strong point of accountability for all children at all levels of government. Now, you notice I'm using children. We can come back and debate what it is with really children and youth. So I appreciate what Debbie said, but I really would like to focus on who is the point of accountability to make sure all those things happen. I would like to see all legislation related to families and kids, whether it's the new transportation bill that's being worked on and a big deal this year, or it was the food bill last year. All of those things should be tied to that point of accountability, so it would be clear that's the go-to place to facilitate the work on. Right now I'm talking about children and families. And we need a strong data infrastructure. We've made some improvements in that, but we don't have a data infrastructure that's the same for mothers and families at every community or across all the states. So how will we do this in the 21st century? And how will this structure look at all levels of government? And that's part of what I would really like part of the debate to be, where I think there's a lot of debate when I leave the kind of MCH public health kind of inside structure that you could say we are here. Will it continue to be Title V of the Social Security Act? Okay, well, if it is, we got a lot of work to do because, you know, that piece of legislation still doesn't even get $1 billion. Or should we have a new Child and Family Act? Maybe a redone Title V. Should there be a new Children's Bureau? You know, in the old days, and this section was very much advocates for the Children's Bureau and very much leaders there, all of this stuff came together in one place. Now, it broke up, and now as the MCH Bureau is more in the public health sector, it doesn't always get, it's not always the go-to place for all those other things. Should there be a special commission on children, etc.? We have to think boldly, maybe something totally out of the box. Well, most of you in here, I do hope you know the Title V of the Social Security Act. It is the most precious piece of legislation we have. It does say that Title V agencies at the federal and state level are the point of accountability. We don't always use it that way, but there's nothing in it for the local level. It's also been amended over time in the 1960s, 1981. Some people might remember that. That's when a lot of categorical programs went together in the block grant, and then they cut it by 25%. 1989 was over 89 when actually it was the new definition of kids with special needs was put in it, and also it was linked to Medicaid, which actually was a very significant just linkage in the legislation, which really moved us. And then 1996 was the abstinence education. So one of my questions is, should we just focus on Title V and expand it to get the infrastructure we need? Which is, we'll talk about it, whether it's $4 billion or $5 billion. And I put some historical things in here to the public health nurses, because I would like to just acknowledge, I think that nursing infrastructure and those home visits and stuff are one of the key parts about our history that, frankly, you can't guarantee that there's going to be a home visit for all new moms anywhere. Should Title V be the piece of legislation that's linked to all other major pieces of legislation? And if that's true, then we should systematically work on that. And I can tell you as a Title V director, if it's in the legislation, it's a good beginning point. It's not good enough, but it really helps you to do a lot of work. And a lot of us did a lot of good work because we had to meet and work with Medicaid. So here's all the opportunities. And as a side, I can tell you in the health, just health insurance world, there's a lot of work going on about having Medicaid, Title V, and SCHIP linked on quality initiatives for the passage of SCHIP, if that becomes one of the first things out of the gate again with the legislation. But that just does the health insurance piece. It's an important piece, and it's important to have Title V, Medicaid, and SCHIP working together on that, but that's not the big piece to assure all the health, because that doesn't really deal with all of the other social determinants. And by the way, APHA has a very good policy piece on SCHIP on the website. That's really one of the fine things they've done, and they really have been very active in those coalitions. Other pieces of legislation we should be linked to are the education legislations, Head Start, and WIC, et cetera. In fact, most right now of the maternal and child health Title V programs actually run their WIC programs, and many of the early intervention programs are in Title V. Or should we think more boldly and develop a new Child and Family Act? And some people are saying that, and actually there's a number of people who have written things related to that. Maybe call it the Young Americans Act. There actually was a piece of legislation called that that I think is actually gone. But the key things are that I believe it should support offices for children or something like that in local areas, be a strong point of accountability at the state and federal level. Funding. Well, you know, everybody talks about funding, but, you know, when you need $800 billion or $700 billion for things, it happens. So I think our time is here if we can make the case and be in people's faces. It is going to be a tough time. But in terms of investment strategies of what we need, and hopefully what just happened, people will be more open to the fact that government does have a role, we can engage in some of the discussions. But there's a lot of ways, and some people are talking about a number of other kinds of incentives or way that you could use corporate profits, etc. And there are some local communities around the country which actually use special taxes and stuff. So we could talk about this, but I think it's more important as an MCH community, and I mean that in quotes, that we kind of agree on what are the core components and what we might want a structure to look like, so we really could go forward with all of our colleagues and networks and do that, and maybe not get hung up on a lot of the details. So this is in my office, a true progressive here. Some of you remember from the 1960s that yellow poster, you know, with the kids playing on the playground. Well, this is there. It will be a great day when children and families get all the money they need and the Pentagon will have to hold a bake sale to buy a bomber. You know, it's not that you can say that like that, but that kind of spirit of what has to happen, I think, has to be in all of our guts to make this happen. So going back to how we're going to do this with a political will and social strategy, we need to be prepared with a plan to meet the vision. And I have to say there's stories about Martha May Elliott to say she had that plan in her desk when Title V was born in 1935. So this is not unusual, okay? We have to learn from the past, and we have lots, and this is why I wanted to do it at our section for MCH. I mean, we have a lot of history in our own section of us being a leader on many different things in the past. And I just sent to some of the leadership in this section, but I'm more than happy to share it with others, a history of our section up through 1971 that has a lot of that history. We've played a major role. I feel like we've kind of been in a lull as a section, and I feel, you know, I want to help, and I know there's a lot of folks out there that would be willing to do that. But most of all, I want to position APHA to be able to do that. Here's one of our heroes, one of my heroes. She was the first female president of APHA after 75 years of the organization. And, you know, she did a lot. There were a lot of other heroes after her, but I just put in our first one. And, of course, our award is named for her aptly. We need to be proactive and connect to the political and social agenda of the time. So I think sometimes that means we have to use the words, we have to respond in the different ways, but the core principles are the same. And there is a lot of posturing with the political campaigns right now, and I do think if the more transformational person is elected, I know there are a lot of people posturing. So that's why I would also like to make sure that we are there and represented for what we need. We need those local coalitions and partnerships and building that child health movement. Just as my representative said, all politics is local, all child health is local. So we need this to happen at the state and national, but very much at the local level. And this is a challenge even within APHA, because we've been working very hard to get the affiliates very active, which is great, and wonderful work with the Kellogg. But I'm not so sure all of our affiliates really have a strong piece that's related to moms and kids. I mean, I know that that's probably not true. But that's one thing we could nurture and do that more as a section. Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful citizens can change the world. I always like to use that, but we're also to there from Margaret Mead. And we need the leadership from all the groups. And today we're fortunate on the panel. We have Mike Frazier here, who's the CEO of AmChip. I know we have leaders in AtMatch in the audience. So I hope you will participate. I'm not sure we have someone from the March of Dimes. In the Academy, I'm pleased that Judy Palfrey, a colleague of mine, was just elected the new president. I know she's very into those things. Yeah, isn't that great? APHA and others, so I just put that. So we need to know what our role is and how we link out. In fact, all of the groups I listed, though, are a little bit in the MCHE world. You know, I didn't list where's the National Educational Association. I think that's one of the issues, okay, of how we reach out to them. And so some of you probably had this quote before. Why don't you just take a little time? I love this quote by Grace Abbott. It's long, but we need to take those baby carriages and get those out there again, okay? Each of you is needed. You are the leaders of the movement. I think this is an intergenerational thing. I want to involve all of our students and young people and all of those with gray hair, because we have an opportunity, and we have an opportunity using our section. And maybe in 2015 we'll have something like this that says Congress passes the Child and Family Act, a new era of Title V. Of the Social Security Act is passed 80 years after the original passage of Title V and 50 years after the passage of the Older Americans Act. That's just setting it up that we definitely need something major and a plan for something major, or our kids and families are really behind. There are three key things that I would refer you all to that have talked about this. One is a piece, One is a piece that Holly did with Bernie Geyer in 1995, and there's copies of it in the back. It is the most significant piece which addresses the issue of what we should look like and be structured, and Holly's going to speak. Another piece is a piece that Neil Halfa and Helen DePoussis did and a lot of their work that they've been doing on child health systems, and this was in Health Affairs. I only have a couple of these, but you can get those. And there they raised the issue of, they call it, we need a transformation, some same kinds of ideas, a little bit more out of the box about maybe having regional structures and funded differently. And then a group that Nemours Health and Prevention Services and the California Endowment sponsored over the last year and a half has just done a policy piece. And actually, that group included, I don't know if I brought all the names, but it included Barry Zuckerman, Neil Halfen, Sarah Rosenbaum, Christy Ferguson, Debbie Chang, myself, Lisa Simpson, and some others. So some people that are actually out there, a lot more in the health than the non-health world, but basically came up with a piece which said we do need this kind of a structure with a federal, state, and local infrastructure, et cetera. And that piece, wasn't quite sure where that was going to go. It's really, it was just published in a thing that First Focus seems to be in a leadership position. Comes out of the America's Promise that Colin Powell did, and it looks like this. And I have some copies of the chapter back there, but I refer this to you because this blue book that came out about 2 weeks ago has a lot of articles in it about child issues, which is positioning also for the next administration. So with that, I hope that that just served as a challenge for some discussion of where we might go. And I look forward to that, and thank you.
Just a tiny bit of housekeeping. First, there should be a sign-up sheet circulating. Is that what you were thinking, Barbara?
I just want to say, Debbie, that we have a number of people from the COA.
Yeah, affiliates.
The affiliates. But it might be interesting to see how many people are representing how many states. Or did you already add that?
No, we didn't do that yet.
When we come to the conversation, maybe we can find out various kinds of constituencies who are here. Who has the sign-up sheet? Can you just make sure that it keeps moving because people, happily, people keep coming in. And those who come in, I just want to alert you to the fact that there are handouts in the back. And we will go on to our three respondents. I'm going to introduce all three now so that they can get up one by one without further interruption. Each will speak for about 10 or so minutes. And then we really do want to have a conversation. So the first respondent is going to be Holly Grayson, who's an associate professor in the Department of Population and Family Health at Johns Hopkins School of Public Health. And as Debbie mentioned, has done a lot of writing, thinking more broadly about maternal and child health, but is actually going to be talking about elder health, providing some models for how we might think about MCH in a changing world. The next is Michael Fraser, who's the CEO of the Association of Maternal and Child Health Programs, and I think has added a sort of real energy both to the organization and to sort of serving as a Washington arm of the maternal and child health community. And then Jane Pearson, who is the current secretary of the MCH section and works for St. Luke's Health Initiative in Phoenix, Arizona, is going to speak specifically about the proposed changes in APHA child health policy that I mentioned for those who were present that I mentioned at the beginning of this section. So Holly.
I think I should escape. Okay. Do we do other?
I think you go other.
Try other.